leading us. Many of us don't know it's God, but he's the one that prepared a place for us. Do I have a witness? But what I love about the story that God shared with me is that Benjamin represents us. If Joseph represents Jesus, you see, Joseph never saw Benjamin. He was born after Joseph was, come on, he was born and grew up after Joseph had become a man. And some of us don't understand that Joseph's encounter was his death, because they took a bloody coat and said, your son has died. But then he wasn't really dead. He got out of the pit, ended up at a palace. Do I have anybody? Ended up sitting on a throne, hadn't seen his little brother since his resurrection from the pit. Do I have anybody? When I look at that whole thing, we are all Benjamites. What do you mean, preacher? Because he said, bring me Benjamin. I want to see him. And so what God did, he called us to Jesus while he sat on the throne. Do I have anybody? They say, come boldly to the throne of grace and I'll give you mercy. Say yeah. Say yeah. I feel like Benjamin. That's where the kings came from. That's where the fighters came from. I feel like Benjamin because I've seen my brother. Now I know who he is. You got to understand something. He gave Benjamin a worthy portion. He stored a lot in Benjamin's sack. We are Benjamin, and he's given us a whole lot. But you got to realize that it was God that did it. That you didn't get it? Oh, come on and say yeah, because of who you are. But you did it because who you're related to. They had the same mama. They were born from the church. Oh, come on and say yes. They were born from Rachel. Do I have somebody that realize I'm born of the Spirit? Say yeah. If any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away, and behold, all things become new. Do I have anybody? Say, preacher, I see newness. I'm not talking about looking at your hands. I'm looking at your heart. I got a new love in it. I got a new joy. I got a new peace. Say yeah. Say yeah. Won't God bless you? Won't he? Won't God keep you? Say yes. Say yes. I know he's all right. Membership has its privileges. Membership has its privileges. I admonish you to be a member of the body. Be a member. Come on, don't be a pew setter, be a trend setter. I'm setting the trend for worship. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. I'm not just going to sit here, but I'm going to experience God in such a way.
We know your hearts have burned within by the message of Living Word Ministries. Living Word Ministries of Natchitoches, Louisiana. Pastor Altoria Holden Sr. Our church is located 1401 Welch Street, Natchitoches, Louisiana. Our mailing address is Post Office Box 968, Campy, Louisiana 71411. Again, Post Office Box 968, Campy, Louisiana 71411. Our service times are 9:45 a.m. Sunday morning worship and Bible study on Thursday nights at 7:30 p.m. We would love to see you and hear from you. Our doors are open. Living Word Ministries radio broadcast can be heard every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday at 11:30 a.m. until 12 noon. Continuous blessings. Pastor Altoria Holden Sr. and Living Word Ministries, thank you for your support.
This is KAYT, Gina, Alexandria. This is Gospel Radio at its very best. 88.1. KAYT, praising the Lord.
Jesus.
Welcome to the Movement of Christ Worldwide Ministers Broadcast, brought to you by the Greater King David Baptist Church, pastored by Dr. John E. Montgomery II, one church ministering in two locations, 222 Blood Road and 7305 Harry Drive, Baton Rouge, Louisiana. Thank you for your prayers and support of the ministry. Let us now join the broadcast already in progress.
Hope for all.
All right. Now that when the saints were going through some things back in the day, they'd sing songs like "Hush, Hush." Somebody's calling my name. Hush, come on now. Hush. Somebody's calling my name. Whoa, hush. Hush. Somebody's calling my name. Oh my Lord, what shall I do? What shall I do? Then they say something like this. Well, it sounds like Jesus. Jesus calling my name. Oh, it sounds just like Jesus. Oh, Lord. Oh, it sounds like Jesus. Jesus calling my name. Oh, my Lord. What shall I do? And one of my old deacons would get up in the corner and say, listen, you better run. Sinner, run. Y'all know what I'm talking about. Find you a hiding place. Oh, run. Sinner, run. Oh, Lord. Find
you a hiding place.
Oh, you better run. Oh, run. Yeah, Lord. Sinner, find you a hiding place. Oh, my Lord. And then one of the old deacons would stand up and say something like this. You better come to Jesus while you still have time. Come to Jesus while you still have time. Oh, come to Jesus while you still have time. Then they had those old meters and those old Dr. Watts, as they call them, that they used to sing. And you know, one of the good things about that was it was usually when the Spirit was stirring and moving in the church. And you might get something from way back in the back of the church. Somebody on fire. And they was talking about, you know, if you're talking about Jesus. Yeah, he's a friend of mine. Somebody else, if it was communion time, might stand and say, I was standing at the table when they signed my name. I mean, and just they really allow God's spirit to deal with them and dwell, and the whole church would catch on fire. You know, many of them did not have beautiful and melodious voices, but they sung with the anointing. And I tell you what, they had some church back in them days. And I just believe the church of God ought to be free enough to enjoy the Spirit of the Lord flowing in the church. And that's what I want our young folk. I was blessed to be very young and to grow up in that environment. And it has so affected and changed my life and blessed me with guidance and direction and peace in knowing who the Lord is for myself at a young age. And when we can expose our young people to that kind of church and that kind of spiritual context, man, what a time. What a time. When all God's children get together. What a time. What a time. Stand on your feet. I'm going to go on and preach a little bit. Gracious God, our Heavenly Father, we thank you afresh for this opportunity to hear your word, meet us, minister to us out of that text. Show us what you'll have us to see. Revealed and unfold, disclose what you'll have us to know. Then give us power to practice the principles that we might profit from them. And be ever so careful to give you the praise. It is in Jesus' name we pray. And the people of God said, Amen. Amen. Romans 8, verse 28. Romans 8, 28. And it simply says, and we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. May the Lord add a blessing to the reading of his word. You may be seated in God's presence. This verse revealed three things that we will deal with in the context of our message. First, it deals with the promise that all things work together for good. Then it deals with the passion, because it says to them that love God. And then it deals with the purpose, because it says who are the called according to his purpose. One of the things that I love about this text, as I talk to you this morning from the subject, trouble is working in my favor. Trouble is working in my favor. First of all, the first word is and, which is a conjunction which connects verse 28 with verse 27, which says, and he that searcheth the hearts knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit, because he maketh intercession for the saints according to the will of God. But because the first word in verse 27 is a conjunction, it connects us to verse 26, which is where I'm trying to get to. And it says, likewise, the Spirit helpeth our infirmities. And the word infirmities, when most folk use it, usually uses it in the context of illnesses or sicknesses. And it does include that, but it's so much more than that. It also means troubles, weaknesses, and or trials. Yeah. And so that word infirmity in its more enlarged context means trouble. So it would read, likewise, the Spirit helpeth us in our troubles. And so therefore, since it's connected to verse 27 and to 28, I thought to talk about trouble is working in my favor. My brothers and sisters, when you begin to understand the promise that Paul is sharing with the people of God, the church at Rome, it's important to understand that God is doing everything he's doing for his glory. The ending of verse 27 says, according to the will of God. So when we understand God is protecting his own will, God's will is the divine inspiration or the directive for man, it's important to understand God has given us his word, which is his revealed mind, which teaches us his way. When we do it God's way, there will be obstacles, opposition. There will be contenders. There will be folk who will block us and try to hinder us from doing what thus saith the Lord. But when you are in his will, the text says that the Spirit maketh intercession for us. And in that word intercession, I discovered one of the purposes of the Holy Spirit intercession is he makes conversation, consultation, and supplication with our spirit. In other words, he comes underneath the skin and deals with the real us and the real issues. And so my brothers and sisters, when you come to the realization that the Holy Ghost goes underneath your skin, deals with the real you, the spiritual part of you, the part of you that looks most like God, the part of you that God can have fellowship with, he makes it clear what your needs are, what your sufficiencies are, what your deficiencies are, and he convey them back to God. So when you can't put your finger on what's going on, the Holy Ghost can. When you're hurting so bad and in so much pain and can't even articulate with the words of your own mouth, because the Bible says he makes intercession with the groanings that cannot be uttered. There are some times you are in such a fix, you can't talk to nobody, can't tell nobody, you can't even make sense out of your own words. But the Holy Ghost can. And if you ain't never been hurt like that, keep on living. See, sometimes you think, yeah, because we're holy, and yes, because we're spiritual, and yeah, because we walk with the Lord, we won't experience pain like that. You are wrong. And notice the Bible says he does that for the saints. For the saints, for the most holy of God's people, for the people of God, for the believers. He does that for his own, not for the world. Everybody's not privileged to have the intercession of the Holy Ghost working on their behalf. And so when you come before God and know that God has you covered, that God knows your situation, Jeremiah said, call upon him, and even before you get through calling, he's already answered you. Because the Holy Ghost has already conveyed to the Father by way of his mind what you're dealing with. And so my brothers and sisters, he says, and we know, not we feel, not we think, not we hope, but we No, it is a working knowledge that all things work together for good. Now, they may be working against you and not even know that God is using them. Put with what he's doing so that they will join forces together and turn out for your good. Trouble has many names. Trouble can be high blood pressure. Trouble can be cancer. Trouble can be financial issues. Trouble can be a broken marriage. Trouble can be a heartache, heartbreak. Trouble can be enemies. Trouble can be whatever. And here's what you need to know. God uses trouble as a tool or an instrument. And though the trouble that comes our way comes from the devil, God lets him sometime fulfill his assignment. God allows trouble sometime to complete his agenda. But what God doesn't allow is trouble to control the consequences. That's why what the devil means for evil. God can turn it around into good. See, because listen, God can turn you around. He can turn your situation around. Or he can turn you both around at the same time and make it work out for your good. See, we understand that positive works for our good. We understand that good works for our good. But you've got to know that trouble works for your good. Listen, when the believer can grasp what God is doing in his or her life, and understand that because we're in this world system, that we're going to have to contend with the devil. If Jesus had to contend with the devil, don't you think we're going to have to contend with the devil? If Jesus had to deal with trouble, don't you think you're going to have to deal with trouble? Listen, don't get yourself worked up about what the devil is doing. Keep your eyes on what God is doing. Here's what point number one. Whenever trouble comes, it's usually stirred up by the divine providence of God, either through his permissive will or his perfect will. Did you hear what I just said? When trouble shows up, God, far behind the scene, is still in control. You remember when the devil came to church and God asked him, where had he been? He said he'd been to and fro in the earth seeking whom he may devour. God said, have you seen Job? Yeah. He said, yes, God. I passed by Job's house, but he had a fence all around his property. And on his fence, he had a sign. And it said, beware of God. Yeah. He's dyslexic. You. He actually said, beware of dog, but he saw beware of. He said, but if you take all that stuff you gave him, who wouldn't serve you if you blessed him like you blessed Job? If you take it from him, he'll curse you till you. God said, No, I don't do that. But I'll allow you to do that. And all of the troubles that Job faced, God, listen, permitted. But God's word said he was the most righteous man, the most upright man in that time. None like him. And yet God permitted him to go through troubles. He let trouble show up at his door. And four different messengers came and trouble after trouble after trouble after trouble was presented to Job. And yet none of those troubles took Job out. What I want to tell somebody is, I don't care what troubles you're going through, if it hadn't taken you out, you're still more than a conqueror. You're still in it to win it. I wish I had a helper in the house. I don't care how much trouble you're going through, which brings me to my next point. And my next point is, no matter what you're dealing with or what you're going through, God can handle it. God can handle it. I know many times we deal with certain things that hit us and floor us when we hear the bad news. Or we've been in the storm too long. Or certain situations and circumstances come time after time after time after time, one upon another, upon another, upon another, till it almost overwhelms you and you feel like, what can I do about this mess? Can I give you a helpful holy hint? Turn it over to the Lord. God can deal with it. And here's what you need to know. If you never forget that the trouble that has come to your life has been sent by the enemy, but God is using it as an instrument or a tool to bring out the best in you. Bring out the best for you. And so while your eyes are on trouble, listen, God's got his eyes on the prize, the finished result. And look at what the word says. He says, all things work together. Work together. Everything that we deal with has to work. Positive and negative work together. If you pull out a battery, you got a plus on one hand and a minus on the other hand. Or if it's a 9-volt, you got a big plus and a little minus side by side. But can I tell you what they're doing? Working together. Your battery will not work if you just had plus. Y'all ain't hearing me. Your teeth and tongue work together. Even though every now and then the teeth bite the tongue. And the tongue get mad and want to cuss and fuss. I know your tongue don't do that, but somehow they reason together and say, listen, we can't fall out here now because we still need each other to chew this food up and work it out so our digestive process won't work. So I wish I had a helper in the house. Just about everything you look at in life has a positive and a negative, a good and a bad. That is different from the other. But God says all of that work together. What you don't understand is sometime God has to allow trouble by whatever name it's called to move in your situation to get you to move on. Sometimes we get so comfortable in life and we think we'll stay right here. This is a good place to rest. When God's got so much ahead of you, he's like, but if you just turn the corner. But you want to park out right here and I got so much waiting for you. So sometimes he'll let trouble come and mess with you and get you all worked up. Let me help you understand. When the Bible talks about God being like the eagle that stirreth up the nest, fluttereth over her young. The Lord alone, the Bible says, did leave Israel. If you know anything about eagles, eagles build their nest in the highest places, in the mountains, or in high, high, tall trees, or solid places where natural predators can't easily reach. Yes, And then they meticulously build their nest with branches, sometimes briar with thickets and with thorns. But then from animals and prey.